Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective here under the lights tonight, Tuesday night, if you're joining us, the day after the 4th of July. It's actually two out of the four. You get half of the team with me right now, all the way from the great state of Connecticut, Matt Cementa. How are you, man?
Dave, what's going on, man? It's a rainy night here in Connecticut, and I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend, a long weekend. It went very fast, I thought. It went very fast. It was a good weekend, but it went a little too fast, and you know, hopefully you had a good one as well.
Yeah, well, we actually want to give a shout out to our good friend Bubba Rosenbaum, who actually is multitasking and producing the show. And he actually is still at the beach. I know Kyle's on vacation. So the two of us, the workhorses, we have to, the show must go on. So Dave and Matt are here with you tonight, and we're here and we're going to have a lot of fun. I know there are a lot of people that Matt, you know, we had people last week on a message board say, I went 49 years, Matt, without being called a redneck. So, you know, I don't know if I should resemble that remark, if I should embrace it, that I'm a redneck now. And especially if there's anybody, a guy that's originally from New Jersey who lives in Connecticut, I guess rednecks can be anywhere. But anyway, I would just tell everybody that when I saw that post, I laughed because you and I have been studying this topic for days now. And it's not like we're not prepared, even though sometimes I may be fumbling on the air. We actually do prepare for the show, believe it or not. And we have full-time jobs. We're dads. We have families. We have a lot going on. So, but anyway, I wanted to bring you in.
Dave, you're not a redneck. You are not a redneck, brother. And I'm certainly not as well. I kind of laugh those things off. Honestly, the older I get, I could care less what, you know, anybody's opinion really is, honestly. Obviously, we care about the fans of this show, and we want people to enjoy the product. And hey, let's face it: when you're talking about expansion, Dave, this is not an exact science. I mean, let's face it: we can come, we can prepare, we can read up, we can have a very educated conversation based on the facts available today. But this is such a fluid situation. It seems to change. You know, every 10 hours or so, there's a new report. So, you know, we're trying our best to stay on top of it. And but hey, let's face it, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. But what you can do is try to make an educated guess and read between the lines. And right now there's a lot going on today that we can discuss for sure.
Sure. And I just want to say that we've said all along, I've never heard Matt say, this is the gospel. I know for a fact this is going to happen. I've never said it. We said speculation, and we have fun with isn't it fun to, it's not fun for the conferences, but it's fun if you're doing a show like we do. This is like the best thing that could happen to our show because we have people to say, why don't you take the summers off? Well, we don't do as many shows during the summer, but the one thing about it is that it's really good for our show that, you know, what is going to happen to college football, the landscape of college football. You hear that so much is changing. Matt, today we learned that there's potentially up to between 4 to 6 schools from the Pac-12 that could be going to the Big 12. I just want to get your reaction to that because remember a year ago, I mean, it was dead man walking when it came to the Big 12. Everybody said there's no way in the world that the Big 12 survives Oklahoma, Texas leaving. And it looks like they're going to join. There's teams from the Pac-12 now going to join the Big 12, the Pac-12, yeah, the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting situation, and you just knew that those two conferences were going to have to work together and come up with a solution. You know, I do anticipate that, and this is, again, this is purely my opinion based on what I'm putting together there, but I definitely see schools, you know, potentially like in Arizona and Arizona State, you know, jumping forces and combining with the Big 12. However, for me, I'm calling a little bit of a smokescreen on this one because I think Oregon is the big one to look at. I really do. And I think that, you know, I think they're a great fit for this new revamped Big Ten, personally. And I think it's just at this point, there's a lot of smokescreen. You know, I think that the Big Ten, I'll put it this way. I think Oregon definitely wants the Big Ten. So I think they're going to hold out as long as they possibly can. But they do have to be proactive in the meantime. So it's going to be very interesting to see.
And ladies and gentlemen, he is coming back from vacation. Let's add Kyle Barber now, who is with us now. Kyle is joining in. And we were just talking about, Kyle, if you didn't hear, about the very fact of, hey, this is a situation where the Big 12 looked like they were dead a year ago, and now here we are where the Pac-12 looks like they're dead this year.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen. I don't know. They may merge under what brand, who knows. I don't know. It seems like anytime there's talks of mergers between two leagues, they can never get their crap together. So I don't know. The Pac-12 losing UCLA, USC, if they knew Oregon and Washington wasn't going anywhere, I think they would have more strokes still than the Big 12. The problem is Oregon and Washington are sitting there, and maybe even Stanford could be going to the Big 10. So I don't know. As far as the smokescreen with Oregon and Washington to the Big 12, they got to go somewhere, Matt. So until the Big 10 says something, if those other teams leave the Pac-12, yeah, they could stay put. If it was four left the Pac-12 and you had six left, they could stay put and add from the Mountain West until the Big 10 comes calling. But who's to say they can't say they're going to the Big 12 now and before they even play a down, go to the Big 10? I mean, so
here's another thing, guys, that makes me interested about that. If you're Oregon and Washington, you could literally – I know that you don't want to make the wrong missteps, and Big Ten is a lot of money, $100 million. But what if the one team that you and I or all of the guys on this podcast talk about a lot that drives me nuts is the whole thing with Notre Dame?
Well, it's the ACC's fault. The ACC wants to sit there with their peter in their hand and let Notre Dame do whatever they want to. In this landscape of college athletics, I would tell Notre Dame, you got 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks. And I don't know what the contract says, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? You know, people sue people every day. But I'd give them 2 weeks to make the decision. You join in all sports, we're going to kick you out. You join in football, we're going to kick you out for all other sports. What the MAC did to Temple. To UMass, not Temple. The MAC, who had crappy UMass football, told UMass, you come put basketball in the MAC or we're going to kick you out in football. And that's what they did because they wanted to stay in the A-10 for all the sports. And that's what the ACC needs to do with Notre Dame, is give them an alternative. Go play the rest of your sports in the Big East with the other Catholic schools and stay independent in football. Or join us, or decide to join the Big Ten. One of the three. Go ahead.
No, the reason I brought that up, the reason I brought Notre Dame up, is the fact that I agree with you 1,000% about the ACC. That they've been like doing this mess where they have it both ways for years with ACC. But my point was, if you're Oregon and Washington, by far you want to be in the Big Ten. But what happens if you wait? If they wait, because basically what
they don't have to wait.
What I'm saying is if they wait, they could wait on Notre Dame, and Notre Dame could just stall for weeks, and then you have
– For years.
Would be and then they wouldn't have a conference to go to if the Pac-12 implodes. So are you better off taking the Big 12 now, like a safe bet, and then down the line get into the
– Well, the Big 12 – I mean, all right. Well, here's the thing. You could – the Oregon and Washington has two options here. They can wait for the Big Ten, or they can join the Big 12. Either way, they can still go to the Big Ten.
Right.
It don't matter. If they can join the Big 12 and go to the Big Ten the next day. If they stay, and then it's just let's pretend it's Utah, Colorado, Arizona State join the Big 12. then you still have six teams left in the Pac-12. You still have Washington, Oregon, Stanford, Washington State, Oregon State, Cal. So then you backfill with, say, San Diego State, Fresno State, Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force. And you're fine. You are what you are. Oregon and Washington would dominate the league, theoretically. But I'm not convinced. I'm still not convinced that the Big 12 is going to come out of this. I know that's what it's pointing to now, looking like, you know, the Big 12 is going to come out, you know, after all this, looking like, you know, they fell in, you know, they fell in the sewer and came out, you know, smelling like roses.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day if it ends up being a handful of Big 12 schools to go to the Pac-12. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, I definitely wouldn't be surprised either, Kyle. And, you know, I think when you look at the Oregon situation, you know, everybody keeps saying Oregon and Washington, right? I actually think it makes – if the goal of the Big Ten is to lure Notre Dame beyond the obvious, the financial reasons and whatnot, Stanford actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's had a long relationship with Stanford. I think they've played 25 years in a row. You know, they have a, you know, that relationship in place. They have the tradition, the history. To me, it makes perfect sense. If you're trying to lure Notre Dame to the Big Ten, then Oregon and Stanford at the very least, maybe Washington too. But I think, to me, Stanford, now they've had a few days to kind of take it all in and digest it, I think Stanford makes more sense if that's the goal. And I think that is the goal. I think ultimately the Big Ten, their dream scenario is obviously Notre Dame's the big fish. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and guys, with the Notre Dame situation, they basically think about it. All the teams that are in the Big Ten, and then you have Stanford and you have USC.
Yes,
the USC being obviously there. But if they go to the Big Ten, basically what they can tell them is, hey, you're going to be playing all the guys, all the teams you normally play anyway, plus – They'll have two or three games that they can do, you know, the Shamrock series, as they're calling it, where the non-conference stuff that they can play some of the other big boys that are not there. And then, you know, they were talking about today, though, guys, I want to bring up the interesting thing that I hadn't thought about this morning on Sirius XM is the fact that the guys, one of the callers was talking about the endowment for Notre Dame with those donors is way up there. It's in outside of the Ivy League. It's like the second or third largest endowment. And so those guys, the men and women that are donating to the school, they don't want to go. And I understand that you may want to stay independent, but what happens if you get left out of playing for a national championship? Because they said that the endowment money is bigger than the conference money, but still you could be left out and not have a place at the table.
Notre Dame might have a place at the table. But really, the Big Ten doesn't. The Big Ten... The Big Ten is going to do what they're going to do. They're going to make a lot of money. Whoever joins is going to make a lot of money. The SEC is going to move next. To me, the interesting part is to see what the Big 12, the Pac 12 is going to do. You know, will it be a true merger? Will there be a bunch of teams that leave? Will the Pac 12 still survive? Will they then backfill with the Mountain West? If they backfill with the Mountain West, you know, who's left out of the Mountain West? Is that an opportunity? You know, there was some interest in, from the American and Colorado State and Air Force. Is that a chance to get them? Who knows what's going to happen? In terms of East Carolina, I think the best scenario for East Carolina, if we were going to move up, besides the ACC imploding and us, you know, getting left after the ACC gets picked over, would be if, you know, 4 to 6 teams left the Big 12, joined the Pac-12, and then we had an opportunity maybe to get in the Big 12, but that doesn't appear to be the case. Did you guys see one of the merger scenarios that supposedly some of the Pac-12 members wanted UCF and BYU left out?
Isn't that something? Isn't that something, Kyle?
It is, and it's, you know... I guess I don't know which, maybe it's Utah that won't BYU in. I don't know. The UCF thing to me is interesting. I don't know if it's just because they didn't want to go that far east. I don't know what that's about, but I find it interesting that they would have had a problem with UCF and not West Virginia. So
yeah, why wouldn't they want that Orlando market? And you know, to your point, Kyle, just to jump in on this for 1 second, not to interrupt what you were saying, but you know, it is really interesting to me. I get the BYU thing just because of Utah, and you know, it's a religious school. But the UCF thing, you get the Orlando market, you get a program that's had a tremendous amount of success in recent years, BCS bowl games, etc. So that one really, really surprised me. You guys are on mute, Dave, Kyle.
Thank you. So for me personally, I was going to tell you guys that I don't know. And what about the whole merger thing? That doesn't mean that if those two schools, those two conferences merge, it doesn't mean that they're going to be a big fish anymore. It doesn't mean, I think right now we talked about it the other night, Kyle, and that is what we call it, the Big Two. I've heard them call it the Power Two with SEC and the Big
Well, Two. You, what you would have if they do a full merger, they would at least have a better shot. You can fight. You got more money. You're going to get more money regardless if you merge from your TV deal. So at least you have a fighting chance. That would probably be the smart move at this point for the Pac-12 and the Big 12. And it's just a little, you know, just a little from a little jealousy standpoint from an East Carolina fan looking at Cincy and UCF and Houston. To think that this time, you know, I guess they had already gotten the Big 12. I don't know. They got the Big 12 by this time last year. It was pretty close to this time last year. But this time last year, they were in the American, not yep. the Big 12 yet. And now, potentially, that could be a part of the Big 12 Pac-12 merger. I mean, how it just seems like we're always, you know, East Carolina's always just bad timing. You know, there ain't nothing we can do about our media market. Our media market is what it is. We can't move the university from Greenville to Charlotte. It's, you know, I think lots of times poor decision making has hurt us. Leadership that is stagnant, that's not aggressive. It'd be nice to think we would finally get an opportunity maybe somehow to quote unquote move up. In all honesty, we're lucky we didn't get left behind a Conference USA lifetime. If it wasn't for Terry Holland's relationship with Mike Oresco, we would have. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm over worrying about it. It would just be nice to get to move up. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. You know, one interesting thing about this, if the Pac-12 and Big 12 merge, you know, that may be good for the American in terms of Memphis and SMU not going anywhere. I also kind of wondered if the Pac-12 and Big 12 merge, you know, that would put them at, supposedly, if the rumors are true, that would put them at 18 teams. You know, would they want to add two more to go to 20 from the East to kind of even things out? Who would that be? Would it be Memphis and South Florida? Would it be Memphis and East Carolina? No, of course it wouldn't be. But, you know, it's just the thought I had. 18 schools in West Virginia, UCF are kind of on an island, I guess Cincinnati too. So I kind of wondered if they would add two more from the East to make it an even 20 and make things a little more geographically friendly for the two divisions.
Yeah, and you could also, for that, you can also put, five teams and have four different divisions.
Yeah, you can do pods.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios. And the more, and that's the thing, the question will become is, you know, they keep talking about eyeballs, but, you know, Bubba makes a great point, and I know that he's producing it.
Does Bubba refuse to take part in conference realignment discussion?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think he is. He's recused himself.
I'm being serious. I was like, twice in a row. No, Bubba, answer on the damn screen. Do you refuse to take part in conference realignment commercials?
No, he's actually he's at the beach, so he's still
he's
on vacation.
Still at the beach?
He's on vacation.
He's still on vacation. All right. Well,
Kyle, we told him when he comes back, we're going to give him a conditioning test first thing.
Okay. Well, I guess he's taking a break from talking. on podcasts and such while he's on vacation. But anyway,
he's doing the Sports Objective sabbatical right
But he's
now.
Not really, because he's producing. So I really, it confuses me. But anyway, neither here nor there. But I don't know. There's really not much more that can be said. And everything that can be said has been said by the national media. The question is, at this point, when are we going to know something else? When's the next domino truly going to fall? The Pac-12's got to do something. They can't just keep sitting around. And a merger's obviously a big deal. So if a merger's truly going to happen, that's going to take some real discussion. But they're saying, six teams. Well, that's not really a merger. That's six teams leaving to join the Big 12. That's not a merger. You still got four teams left over. So do those four teams join the Mountain West? Do those four teams?
Fuck American.
You don't see that happening. I mean, you're talking Washington State, Oregon State, Cal, and Stanford. There's not a lot of value in that, except for Stanford. And they probably do what?
I know. I'm just saying that you would have that. But you have that. What, as far as eyeballs, how many eyeballs do you think would be for those four schools? I mean,
well, you're really not getting anything. Oregon State sucks. Washington State, without Mike Leach, traditionally sucks. Stanford's obviously had some good years. Cal is up and down, so you're really not getting much. No, I really believe, it'd be worth talking to them, I guess. We go far enough west, unfortunately, with UTSA and Rice, et cetera, where you could make it work. But they, I'm assuming, would probably just join the Mountain West, or do those four, at that point, does that implode the conference? Do those four have to join? Would there be a Pac-12 left with four schools, or does that dissolve the league? I don't know what their conference bylaws say.
Right.
If that dissolves the league, then you're looking at the Mountain West, or I guess you could have independence.
And another thing Kyle is going to add to that is the fact that the Pac-12 and the ACC, let me just say this. I know you love academics, and I understand that. I'm talking
Who,
to
me?
You. Oh, yeah, you do. The conferences. They've been so snobby about it. And at this point, you're getting ready to lose your conferences if you continue to be snobby. For example, the ACC should take West Virginia. They should have done that they should have done it at least a year ago, but they should take West Virginia big time.
West Virginia, despite geographic problems, but like I said, they could go to 20, add two more. West Virginia could be sitting pretty. I mean, that's a nice league. If that happens, like I said, geography is just an issue for them, but you add Memphis and East Carolina to go to 20, and that would actually make a lot of sense. But it'd probably be Memphis and South Florida. We can't never get shit right.
That the very fact of that, and the other thing too is, guys, when they were talking about, when people talk about as far as the Olympic sports, I've heard that a lot. Well, what you can do is you can make the schedule advantageous and have it where that if it's East Coast teams that you only play East Coast and maybe one West.
Are you referring? What are you referring to?
I've heard some of them talk about as far as USC and UCLA, like they have to worry about money anyway. Right. But traveling to to Michigan.
Oh yeah, it's a problem for non-revenue sports, but I guess the money they're going to make is going to make up.
You're going to get $100 million. How much does it cost to? And Stanford has how many sports? They have a gazillion sports.
That's the exact number.
Yeah, but they have like 30 sports. I think still are. It's in the high 20s still, even when they cut some of them. But that very factor of like it's very easy to fix with scheduling. You just have maybe one crossover, a couple crossover West Coast trips. You shouldn't be traveling a whole bunch anyway if it's a conference schedule. You just play people in your division that are closer to you. I mean, that's
well, I mean, as of right now, I mean, look, I don't give two craps about what UCLA and USC has to worry about with Olympic sports scheduling. But as we sit today in a 16-team Big Ten, there is no teams close to them. So there is no traveling. I mean, what's close? Wisconsin? I mean, so you know, there's some, but who cares? I don't give a damn what UCLA and USC have to spend on volleyball expenses. I mean, yeah. They made the choice to go join the Big Ten.
And just take a look at UCLA for a minute. UCLA has not been good in football for a long time.
This is the University of 6-6.
They are not a good football program. They've been through a bunch of coaches here in the last 15 years, but obviously very good basketball program, but they have the Los Angeles market, so it speaks for itself.
Do they really?
But I mean, in terms of just bringing a quality football program, they really don't bring much at this point. So, but I think, you know, from the standpoint of East Carolina here, regardless of whatever happens and you know, whatever happens with us, if we remain in the AAC, if we by some miracle wind up in the Big 12, if the ACC implodes and we find a spot there, we need to start winning football games. And that's what it's going to be, you know, obviously for the short term and the long term. And it has to start, you know, last year you saw us start to break through a little bit and win some games. We have to start winning consistently, because if we don't, all this is going to be a moot point. And I don't see us, you know, advancing any further than we are.
No, we'll start winning games. I mean, that's going to happen. And what we got to do, I think more importantly than that, Matt, is we got to make good decisions. When Mike Houston leaves, because he will, because that's just what happens in East Carolina, we got to make sure the next coach we hire is another good head coach. We can't screw up and make a bad hire.
Yep.
We just have to make good decisions with hires, with the money we're investing in facilities. We have to make good decisions, and we need to start being more vocal and more aggressive. You know, I think about when Holland was here, and you had under Holland, you had, oh God, my boy that I love so much, is at Eastern Michigan.
Weatherby, Scott Weatherby.
Yeah, Scott Weatherby. You know, you had Terry Holland as AD, Scott Weatherby, associate AD. You know, you had people that were out front always saying things, getting points across, promoting the program, being vocal. I mean, you know, and right now there's none of that. I guarantee you, man. If Terry Holland was still here in his prime, he'd be trying right now to get into the damn Pac-12 if that's what he thought that was the best chance for us to advance. And there's something to be said for regional conferences, and that's something Holland always said. And, you know, I think that worst-case scenario fallback plans to Sun Belt, at least it would be fun. At least it would be fun.
Kyle, to your point, and I've been traveling a lot over the last few days, so I haven't really seen, but have there been any comments or statements from John Gilbert? See, now this is the type of thing that bothers me. You know, as a guy who loves East Carolina, passionate about the program, what I want to see from an athletic director, and you know, I'm going to be a little critical now, I want to see somebody step up today, make a comment, you know, make a statement, something along the lines of the fact that, hey, we're going to do everything we possibly can to put East Carolina in the right spot to be successful moving forward. And, you know, those are the type of things I want to see. It doesn't have to be a press conference.
Well, I think the problem,
it doesn't have to be a book. It can be just a quick statement, right? But just it fires up the fan base, and it lets people know that, hey, we are proactively working on these things.
I think the problem with Gilbert, I think the problem's twofold with Gilbert. One, I think it's his personality. I think he's a behind-the-scenes guy. And I hope he does more behind the scenes than we realize. He's just not vocal about it. I hope. The second is, I just don't think Gilbert views us in that light. Terry Holland viewed us in that light. Terry Holland thought, you know, we belonged in the Big East. He thought that we could compete with anybody. And, you know, I just don't think – even Comfort. And believe me, I hate Jeff Comfort. I like John Gilbert better than Jeff Comfort. But I think Comfort saw us as more – quote unquote big time than Gilbert did. And maybe I'm just reading Gilbert wrong. I don't know. We need to have him on the show again, Dave. We can ask him some questions about that. I'm sure there's a lot of other, you know, there's a bunch of schools right now that are probably looking for some sort of statement from their athletic directors, and we're not directly involved right now with what's going on, but it indirectly affects us. And back to the conference we're in, the American. All right. So let's say for poops and giggles, the Big 12 has six, the Pac-12's left with four, but the Pac-12 survives somehow, it doesn't implode. And they backfill with the Mountain West, and there's let's say they go to 10, and there, you know, you got 10 teams out of the Pac-12, six of them from the Mountain West, and it's going to leave you six in the Mountain West. And let's see, there's a couple of Mountain West schools like Colorado State or Air Force that didn't get into the Pac-12. Would you guys reach out and try to add them and expand the conference to 16?
Absolutely. I think we should expand if it makes sense. We should expand to 20 or 22, because you never know. That's what I was asking
about.
Well,
I mean, who do you add? I don't know what
I think the two you mentioned, Kyle, right off the top, Colorado State and Air Force jump out.
Yeah.
Maybe a UNLV, which obviously a terrible football program, but there's some value in Las Vegas. There's value in the basketball program.
Yeah, I got a feeling that they'll probably be in the Pac-12 if it survives in any way, shape, or form. UNLV, rather. I mean, I don't. It's just an interesting thought.
It's a good thought. It makes sense logically. I think it's I think it's definitely something to explore.
We contacted, and I say we, I mean the American, contacted Colorado State and Air Force about joining this last round of expansion, and they decided to stay in the Mountain West. One of the two was very interested. I think it was Air Force. But they decided to stay in the Mountain West. So, like I say, let's say four to six teams leave the Pac-12, join the Big 12. Pac-12 survives, backfills the Mountain West, but there's some Mountain West teams left over, you know. I guess it depends on who it is. You mentioned UNLV would be interesting to me. Colorado State and Air Force would be interested. Boise State, you would think they would definitely be in the Pac-12. Yeah. But if not, then obviously you definitely take a Boise State. San Diego State would definitely be gone in this scenario.
I don't think they're going to go to the Pac-12, don't you?
Yes, if it survives, in the scenario we're talking about.
Yeah, that very – but that's what I was bringing up with the four remaining for the – left, if you had those guys for what's left over the Pac-12, and then you add the Colorado States and you add the Air Force, you would have a nice little Western division there that you could, with the Texas schools in there. And
if they would come, if the teams left, if the four in the Pac-12 would come, I mean, yeah, you definitely talk to them. If there's four left, sure. If there's three left, yeah, you definitely talk to them.
I'm just wondering what value they would bring. You hear about the value, but would that help us as far as the TV deal is concerned? In other words, where it won't down, at least stay the same, or would it go up?
I don't know. My theory at that point, if we're left, if we didn't get touched, we had 14 teams, and you see all the flux going, and this, that, and this team going there, that team going there. And now let's say there's three teams left in the Pac-12. Stanford's gone too at this point. You could probably make a pitch to Washington State, Oregon State, and Cal, and some Mountain West schools to come join, because I think at that point everybody would be looking for some sort of answer to survive. I don't know. I think things are going to get very. They already are interesting. And I think they're just going to continue to get more interested with each little. I don't want to say round, because we're in the same round of expansion, but each little pebble that falls in expansion right now, it's dominoes. The domino effect's what the hell I'm looking for, guys. My brain ain't working. Each domino is going to affect. You're going to have the domino effect. This is going to affect that. That's going to affect this, and it's going to go on down the line. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. One thing that crossed my mind, again, if the Pac-12 survives, if they're left with six schools versus four, let's say it's just four leaves, but Oregon and Washington State, but those four, the Utah, the Arizona State, and the, who am I missing? Colorado. they leave, but Oregon and Washington stay. You know, I wondered, you know, does the Pac-12 just backfill the Mountain West, or do they look at SMU? You know, SMU has got great academics. It would give them the Texas market. So is that something the Pac-12 looks at if they end up trying to backfill?
Guys, do you want to go to comments now? We've got a boatload of them right now. So, all right, let's do that. Hello to Mark. He said, evening, fellas. We'll go next to Johnny Robertson. Earlier said, under a number of scenarios, Washington State and Oregon State appear to be the odd ones out. They probably are candidates for the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most likely. Like I said, mm-hmm. That would make the most sense for them geographically. But, yeah, you probably give them a phone call if you're the American.
All right, Jay Cutler chiming in on YouTube tonight. Thanks, guys. We've got a lot of comments tonight, so thanks for that. He said, I wish they would just separate college football from all other athletics and keep the others in a traditional conference that makes sense geographically. And also, he says, one more comment, guys. Split football into two leagues and allow schools to move up and down based on performance. This constant movement is destroying some traditional rivalries all because of football.
Yeah, and I mean, logically, I would love to see the regional rivalries stay in place, Jay, for sure. I think what happened, and we all know the driver of this, is TV dollars. And, you know, once you saw the Syracuses of the world going to the ACC and, you know, et cetera, you know, unfortunately, yeah, Boston College.
It's been great for Syracuse and BC too, hasn't it?
Right. I mean, it's unfortunately, I think, I agree. I would love to see it, but in this world, it's all driven by those TV dollars.
And Bubba's chiming in on YouTube. Thank you. Our great producer and co-host, Bubba Rosenbaum, says USC and UCLA were a package deal, just like North Carolina and Duke are being shopped around, especially to Big Ten. So he was talking about earlier.
I keep hearing North Carolina, Virginia also, though. So who the hell knows?
And he also says Virginia Tech became a package deal with UVA, somewhat to the ACC, after pressure from the state, including the governor, Mark Warner, at the time, who's a senator, U.S. senator now. He actually pushed hard. And, guys, that's something, and we'll get to BPays. We got other comments here in a second. But we were talking about this on last show, if you didn't listen or watch. If you're John Gilbert, you're calling the governor right now, Roy Cooper, despite, you know, forget about politics or anything. Call them up and say, hey, we need your help. NC State, we need your help. We need, you know, a lot of different people, state schools, maybe who knows who else can help us. But that's the kind of things we would like to see from our leadership, because I don't think that some people would probably view or judge my statement as a sense of panic. I don't think it's a sense of panic. I think that doing nothing is not a good plan. And so just sitting around, like, in other words, instead of being proactive, it feels like East Carolina, going back, we're talking about leadership, we're reactive. And that's how you're not a real leader if you're reactive. I don't see how you can be a leader, lead, and be reactive. Just please explain that one to me. That doesn't make any – does that make any sense? I know I'm probably stating the obvious. Let's go to B. Pays, our good buddy B. Pays. What's up, dude? He says, per Twitter, the Big Ten has told Washington and Oregon they have to put expansion on hold and definitely they're content to stay at 16 and to wait out Notre Dame. They're looking at a $1.5 billion a year with their contract next with the Big Ten Network, and we'll wait and watch the landscape.
So that'd be interesting to see if, you know, I've heard that too. And that kind of goes back to the Washington, to my theory about the Pac-12. Will the Pac-12 truly implode? Will Washington and Oregon go with the other four to the Big 12? You know, will the Pac-12 end up trying to poach from the Big 12? Will both leagues survive and they just poach from the Mountain West and the American? You know, who knows at this point? It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I would think it's going to play out between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 sooner rather than later. So Oregon and Washington will probably have some decisions to make. And quite honestly, if I'm Oregon and Washington's leadership, I don't worry too much about it. If the best scenario right now is for those six to join the Big 12, then do it. And then if you have an opportunity to join the Big 10 later, then do it then. I mean, you can always get out of contracts. You can always – there's always buyouts. There's always ways to get out of things. And I don't know what kind of grant of rights agreement they would have to sign from day one. But I do know this. If they left the – if they announced they were leaving the Pac-12 today, they wouldn't join the Big 12 until 24. So, you know, they'd have 2 years for those plans to change and they could join the Big Ten instead. So I think things are going to play out with the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and Oregon and Washington. And the rest of that bunch, probably relatively fast. It may drag on, but I'd want to, if I'm those two leagues, I'd want to get this stuff over with before football season.
Exactly. And another point from B. Pace, per Twitter, Big 12 is possibly opening. I'm only eyeing 4 of the 6 to stop at 16 for now. Valuation of per school is higher if omitting 2 of the 6 because the projected media dollars are very similar with or without those two. He's talking about, of course, with BYU left out and UCF left out. I guess that's what he was talking about.
I think he's talking about Oregon and Washington.
Washington. Okay.
I find that hard to believe because here's why. You got the Seattle media market, which is a huge media market, and Pace loves the media market, so he knows that. And Oregon, believe it or not, has one of the – if you look up the most, what school has the most college football fans? Google that right now. Google the top 10 biggest fan bases in college football, and you will be surprised that Oregon ranks in the top 5.
There you go. And I think that it's more about, I think it's more about this time, we're talking about media markets, but I think it's shifted, guys, now to brands. What brands?
Right. Phil Knight and Oregon, you know, and I do think that Oregon has taken a hit.
The Big Ten.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave. I mean, Oregon, you have to give them credit. They've done an incredible job marketing that program.
Well, I think it's trickled down a little bit in recent years, guys. But about 5 to 10 years ago, yeah, we all would have been spot on. I don't know what's going on with that recently. The Phil Knight, Nike, Oregon stuff seems to be on the downward trend. But at one point, you guys were spot on. But go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, well, they were the originator in that, you know. I mean, they were the first program that was bringing all these wild uniforms. You know, every weekend they'd have a different uniform, a different color scheme and whatnot. So that's all I wanted to say about it. They were on the forefront of it. They've done a great job positioning themselves and, you know, it kind of makes sense.
Mark says, by the way, guys, that he follows a lot of news sources and everyone's saying within, he was saying 2 to 3 months is what he has right there.
2 to 3 months that it's official or that we get word.
I guess that we get more. Yeah. That we get more.
I can't imagine. I mean, it's possible, but I mean, I guess it's a rather complicated situation, but
Elliot says that Oregon is 14 out of 20 when it comes to fan bases. He's saying that Alabama is number one.
Okay. So
boo.
I heard somewhere else the other day, Ohio State was number one and Alabama was number three. Oregon was number 5, so I guess that's where you're looking. And I actually would believe Ohio State does have more fans than Alabama, just based on population.
I would think Notre Dame's got to be right there as well.
Yeah, Notre Dame was in the top 5 also. It was like it was trying to remember off the top of my head, and again, he's looking at a different list than me, but the list I saw was, I want to say it was Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, I forget who 4 was, and then Oregon was 5th.
Guys, by the way, I want to do a sidebar really quick as far as baseball is concerned. Bubba chimes in. Zach Agnos made the USA Collegiate National Team, so congratulations to him. No surprise there. He had a great year with East Carolina, and just want to give him a shout-out. By the way, Kyle, how about Sunday night? How about Skip Holtz, former ECU football coach, the Birmingham Stout.
Yeah, watch that. It felt bad for that quarterback for Philadelphia for the Stars. He played well all year, was playing really well in the second half of that game, but probably got a chance to make it to make a team in the league as a backup. He tore up his knee. I don't know how bad it was to find that out during the second half of that game, or Philadelphia would have probably won that game. But nonetheless, congratulations to Skip. An interesting fact about that Birmingham team, he had 6 former Louisiana Tech players on that team. Mm-hmm. So,
including the quarterback.
Yeah. So for some familiarity there, with Skip and that team. And I don't know how much he had to do with putting that team together, but a smart move on whoever did that smart move. You automatically have a lot of familiarity, particularly with quarterback. So, congratulations, Skip. Be interesting going forward with what the USFL does. If it grows, I enjoyed watching what I watched of it this year. I didn't watch a lot, but the championship game was enjoyable. You got to get all the games out of Birmingham. I know they did that for season one to save money and kind of rely on TV revenue. But going forward, the Philadelphia Stars need to play in Philadelphia, not in Allegiant Field.
Yeah, they did that. Obviously, that's a great point. And I thought I wanted to get your take, Matt, being a former player. I really liked the product, the USFL. I was pleasantly surprised. I'm a kid from the 80s, and I remember the original USFL. I like the names of the teams. I like the uniforms were great. I thought the play was way better than what I expected. I thought it was going to be a lot of garbage, to be honest. I think the only thing that I did, and I liked also how you could hear the coaches calling in the plays. Kyle, Matt, I want to get your thought on that. I thought that was really cool.
I thought overall it came across as football. They didn't try to do anything too damn silly or creative. I really don't need to hear the coaches and players mic'd up that much. It's fine. It wasn't overdone. But the rules were what we were used to. They didn't try to reinvent the wheel. No silliness, no nonsense. It was straightforward football that we're all used to. I think the USFL has a chance. And I like playing it in the spring and kind of ending it around the 4th of July. I think that's, kind of the right way to do it. I hope it's successful. I like it better than the XFL. And the XFL's coming back again with The Rock running it. But, I much prefer the USFL just based on one season.
Yeah, I do not see any future for the XFL. I mean, to your point, Kyle, you mentioned that, they stuck to football. They stuck to, the basics of football. And, they didn't have any, he hate me's running around and all that stuff. That stuff just doesn't resonate with me personally. But I do want to say, to Dave's point, I enjoyed that aspect of the live mic on the field where you can hear the coach, you can hear the players. I think it is a different element that it brings to the game. I think, that's something that can draw in new fans. I personally love that stuff, so I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah, by the way, B-Pays also mentions that Skip is up for the UAB job, which I didn't know. So right there in Birmingham, so B-Pays.
I believe if I was UAB, I would let Bill Clark's staff kind of run that thing this year. I'm not so sure how long Bill Clark's going to be out. It's a back problem. It's a bad back problem. But, it's not cancer. It's not anything life-threatening. So, he may take a year, 2 years off and be back ready to – look, if I was UAB, the way that dude stuck around, during the damn football program being shut down, I say, look, we're going to make somebody interim coach, and then next year – after a year off, we'll see if you want to coach from the press box. Unless he's just adamantly like, nope, I want to be done with it. Don't want to have, just want to focus on my health. I'd give him that opportunity and just name someone interim coach. Because who knows, a year from now, he may be ready to coach in the press box and then be back on the field in 2 years. But, it doesn't surprise me, if Skip were to step in on that UAB job, I wouldn't do that this late. I guess what they're saying is, Pays, are you saying now, like, to step in and just take over with Bill Clark's staff and plays? Because obviously you can't change the staff this late. Skip could probably do that. He's probably got the personality type that he could do that. But I believe Bill Clark suggested that his I believe it was his OC he suggested as head coach. So I think Bill Clark has kind of earned the right to name his predecessor, his replacement at UAB.
Elliot, by the way, Elliot chimes in. that in 2009, this is interesting, that when EC went to Raleigh to play State, he escorted Skip Holtz and the team to the stadium, and he was on the sidelines. In fact, he said they stayed in Durham, and he escorted the team to the stadium.
Yeah, I Elliot, I'm assuming you're a police officer. Thank you. If you are, I appreciate your service.
Yeah, retired state trooper.
Okay, well, I wish you could have done something.
Thank you for your service, Elliot.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Elliot.
Wish you could have done something to help us win that game that day. I hate that game. Good Lord.
Wait, was that the game? Was that the game, Elliot and guys, was that the game where we had first and goal?
Yes.
And there were like three straight runs up the middle from like the 1 yard line. Yes. I'm trying to remember. It was a long time. That was painful. That was a painful.
Brutal, as you would say, Matt.
Brutal. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Yep. So that was the game. Okay.
Yes. Where we were ranked in the top 15. Yes. Yes.
By the way,
You sound slightly bitter about it.
Yeah, I hate that game.
Mark Calloway mentions that Mark Packer and West Durham show Packer and Durham. Did y'all hear about this on the ACC network? It was 7-10 Monday through Friday. Last Wednesday,
no, I try not to watch it.
They were told that on Friday would be their last day. They got a 2 days notice. You know, the ACC, I don't think the ACC network, and I'm not being a hater, but I don't think it's been doing very well. You know, the only one that's done well is for obvious the Big Ten. That's the only one that's
SEC network's doing all right.
It's doing okay, but not as good as Big Ten. Big Ten is like light years ahead of everybody else.
Are you sure about that? Ahead of the SEC?
The SEC? Not compared to what the Big Ten is rolling. They're rolling right now.
More so than the SEC.
I think as far as networks, yeah, I'm not talking about the conference. I'm talking about the networks.
The network's been around longer than the SEC network. So, but you know, and it's got some bigger media markets. But I imagine the SEC network's probably doing all right. So the ACC network's supposedly struggling. Well, you know what? East Carolina might help them.
Yeah, there you go. We can have we got people that we know, like David Glenn, different ones that they didn't want to move to Connecticut. No offense, Matt. The SEC has it's really weird. The SEC, you know, has their network in Charlotte, and there were a lot of people talking about the ACC would have their network in Charlotte. It would make sense, you know, ESPN, but yet they're going to take the ACC all the way up to Connecticut. That doesn't make any sense to me, but who am I? Here's the cool thing, our good friend Johnny Gardner, guys, talking about the USFL. The original USFL was legit. Long list of guys were able to get in the league for great careers, many of who originally chose them over the NFL. You're exactly right. Steve Young, you had Herschel Walker. There's so many guys.
Jim Kelly.
How about Doug Flutie? I mean, so many great quarterbacks and so many great players. That's what made that league. Is
the Minister of Defense, right?
Oh,
Reggie.
Yeah. That's right.
He was a USFL guy. So Johnny makes a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. Okay. Here's another one for you. Brandon Forbush says East Carolina 2023 class ranks number 66 in the nation per 24/7 sports. About Mark Calloway says, as much as I hate Feinbaum, he's got a good show.
I can't stand that Peckernick.
I love Feinbaum. I'm one of the.
I'd like to strangle him.
I'm with you, Kyle.
I don't like him.
Yeah, he's got a face for radio, that's for sure. They put that ugly son of a bitch on ESPN and the SEC network. My God, what an ugly man.
Well, the thing that bothers me about he is ugly, but the thing that really bothers me about Feinbaum is that he's such an SEC homer. Right. And you get, which is the obvious point, but he almost. It's this elitist type mentality that everybody's beneath the SEC that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
A lot of his crap is bullshit. A lot of his stuff is gimmick.
He listens to his radio show, though. Like, that's what they have, you know, sound
test. Yeah. A lot of it's just gimmick. And he says stuff to provoke people. And I get it. That's what he's doing. But, you know, I'm a guy who grew up watching the best of the best do that. So, some slapdick wanting to pretend like they're a wrestling heel as a scrawny little – what he is, he'd be a great wrestling manager. I could just picture him as an 80s wrestling manager. He'd be tremendous at it.
I'd love to see Jim Cornette, like, whip his
Yeah, that'd be great.
Corny. But no, I tell you what I give the guy respect for is I love – he is one of the best at having these loyal callers that say stupid stuff, and I give him credit for it. And he just let him – I like – I just think it's entertainment. I really – I like
well,
it.
Well, to me, you know, when I look at who I consider to be the best radio host in the history of sports radio is Tim Brando. Well, so, to me, you talk about class versus trash. Tim Brando versus Paul Feinbaum.
What? But see, the thing about Feinbaum, I'm not even – Brando is one of my idols. I'm not putting Feinbaum up there. I think Feinbaum for me is kind of like Jerry Springer for
sports. Yeah, exactly.
And I like that. I like it, though. I like
well, I mean, that's less, fine. I mean, Matt, that's fine for what it is. The problem is I get too mad about stuff. So that's why he'll just do stuff that'll just, you know, just irritate me. So I just sit down and watch it.
I love these stupid people calling in and they do the trash talking about their, right. You know, like the other school and, you know, Mississippi State, or they'll, I think that's hilarious. Maybe I'm in the minority on that, but
yeah. Well, you mean like the Alabama fan that calls in and goes, yeah, Bama gonna win another championship. You know, it don't even, you know, if it ain't SEC football and it ain't Crimson Tide, it don't even matter. It ain't the only thing that matters is that Roll Tide, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of bull crap. Yeah, it's great.
You don't like it?
No, it nauseates me.
Well, but anyway, I do love Feinbaum, but that's I guess I'm in the minority on that one. But I like Pat Matt when, you know, trash talking, if it's on social media or whatever. I just love hearing that the fan.
I'm not a big trash. People would think I'm a big trash talker based on my history with Pirate Radio. I love punching above my weight class. I love going after people that are quote unquote above me, the Jeff Confers of the world, or you know, the Cecil Statons. That's the kind of trash I like to talk. Talking trash to other fans, you know, yeah, I'll do it some picking, but you know, I'm really, that's really not my thing. It's not my style, and you know, I believe in kind of letting your actions you do your talking. So hearing these Hick fans for these SEC schools that, you know, chances are half of them, half those Alabama fans that call in ain't never been to Tuscaloosa in their life. Just like half the Carolina fans you see walking around with UNC hats on, got it at Walmart. And the only time they ever went to Chapel Hill was once when they got burnt shooting off fireworks and they had to go to the burn center. So, you know, it's the same kind of crowd.
You're
so
redneck.
I don't have patience for it.
I was talking about that earlier. You're redneck, Kyle, remember?
Well, you won. I can be, yeah. You know, that's fine. But, you know, somebody was critical of us on the message board, and most of the comments were positive. But if there's anybody on this show that's going to be called a redneck, it would certainly be me. It wouldn't. Dave, Matt, give me a break. Despite Bubba's, despite Bubba's name, he does not ring. Maybe his voice sometimes can sound a little country, so somebody might say Bubba sounds a little country redneck. But if you know Bubba, no, I'd say I'm probably the most redneck of anybody on the show.
I just thought it was funny. I was telling Matt at the top of the show that I've never been called redneck in 49 years of my life. So
no, Dave, of all the Eastern North Carolina natives I know, you would be one of the least redneck that I know.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
There you go.
But I don't know if that's a compliment or a put down.
I love racing. I love wrestling. I love barbecue. I mean,
maybe you are a redneck.
And Bubba chimes in that he is a redneck.
Bubba says he's a redneck.
I'm a redneck. Good vibes. So.
All right. Bubba's a redneck. All right. Well, all right then.
Breaking news.
Bubba is a redneck.
I did not know that.
Does not sound like breaking news. Bubba is a redneck. But whatever.
Bubba shot the jukebox.
Okay.
It's a great song. But anyway, that we wanted to talk too about, there's an interesting thing that the guy was talking about, SiriusXM, ESPN Radio. He brought up the fact.
Did they buy sponsorship, Dave? Because we sure have been promoting the hell out of them. I mean,
no, but
okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention he had a concept. So I'm giving him credit. It's not my idea. But he feels like that basically if college sports is going professional, right? That we should be allowed that the football players like a Trevor Lawrence should be able to play at the university like Clemson for 12 years if he wanted to, He said, if you're going to make it a professional sport and to compete against the NFL, I'm like, they may be playing football, but you never, ever want to compete against the NFL. I love both of them, but they're two completely different animals for college football versus pro football. There's two reasons why. There are different reasons why I love both sports.
What I want to know is what's going to happen when you got a kid that was making more money in college than he makes in the league.
Yeah.
And that's coming. That's coming. I was thinking when you brought up the USFL Sunday night, you brought up the USFL earlier, and as I was watching that championship game Sunday night, I was thinking, I bet you all these players out here on the field, most of them are making less money, if not all of them, than kids at Power Five schools now. So, it's an interesting dynamic, what's going on with money, and that's why I do think eventually you are going to see a true split where you're going to have 40 to 48 teams playing at the highest level of college football, or maybe the highest level of college athletics as a whole, and the rest of us are going to be a division down.
Do you guys think we're better off where we would have a legitimate playoff?
I think if it's 40 or 48 teams, yes. I think if it goes to 60 teams, no, because then we're going to feel left out. If it's 40 to 48, you're going to look around and you're going to have some buddies with you we didn't have before. You're going to have some Wake Forest and some Virginia Tech potentially, and some Boston College and some Syracuse and some Kansas State and some Iowa. There's going to be different schools that are going to end up left out if it's 40 to 48 teams playing at the highest level. Now, if it goes beyond that, then no, we wouldn't be better off. But
then you're stuck with Charlotte and Rice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But if it's 40 or 48 teams, we're better off.
And let me just go back and say really quick. I mean, if you're the American Athletic Conference, Mike Oresko, right now, you should be calling Colorado State.
Everybody.
You should be calling everybody, because let's face it, guys, we are in a conference with Charlotte. We're in a conference with Rice. I mean, this is not this. We are not in this amazing football conference like we were. Like we just were. I mean, we're losing some big-time schools, UCF, Houston. So do everything you can. If you have a chance to grab a Colorado State, an Air Force, they're light years above, a Charlotte or a Rice.
Yeah, I think if the opportunity presents itself, if the Pac-12 takes some Mountain West schools, if the Pac-12 survives and there's some other Mountain West schools left sitting there, I think it's definitely something the league should look into.
Would you take an Army? They have Army, Navy being.
Yes, and I think that's been talked about. And Army had no interest in joining a league at the time, but yeah, there was significant talk about trying to get Army, Air Force, Navy all together in the American, which would probably also help with TV negotiations. I don't know. There's several things I'd like to see. I would have invited in Appalachian State instead of Charlotte. There's a whole bunch of things I've done different with this league.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like I told you guys before, I would add, of course, the App States of the world, the Marshalls definitely would be in my league.
I don't know, at this point, all the schools are pretty happy in the belt. And as we sit today, the money difference for incumbent members is good. But for the new members, you're making $1 million more. I believe $3 million for new members and $2 million for members of the belt. If you're an incumbent member of the American, you get $7 million. So, as we said today, but I don't know that any Sun Belt schools would come to the American if invited at this point. Now, who knows? If some crazy things happen and we take some from the Mountain West, that bolsters the league even more. Maybe we want to get to 20, and then you can bring in a couple from the Sun Belt. But
hey, guys, I had a question for you, Kyle. I don't want to forget this because it was your idea. You were talking about actually flip flopping the leagues for the Sun Belt and Conference USA. But what about a merger with those two leagues? Because Conference USA
and the Sun Belt, there's no value for the Sun Belt to merge Conference USA right now. If the Sun Belt don't lose any schools, then. Absolutely not. The only schools I would say left in CUSA going forward that the American would be interested. Excuse me, not the American, but the Sun Belt would be interested in Louisiana Tech, maybe, and Western Kentucky. Liberty is going to be interesting to see. I really think they're probably going to dominate the new Conference USA, but Liberty, you got the same problem you have with BYU. A lot of people don't want anything to do with them because they're way, way on the, you know, whereas, you know, a lot of people have don't want to deal with the Mormon school. Liberty's an evangelical school. You know, it's not your typical Christian school. They're way out there.
All right, guys, we have some more comments. Richard Osbrook, hey, Richard, what's up, buddy? He says, will college football ever have a commissioner? No one is in charge other than the TV networks.
I'll do it. I'll be the commissioner.
That's the most frustrating part, to Richard's point, is that the NCAA gave up all control of the networks. And you know, it's interesting. You have a love-hate relationship with ESPN because on one hand, they give you so much exposure, right? So you get obviously your TV contract, your exposure. And then on the other hand, you know, you really resent what they've done to college football. And they've really taken control. Let's face it. The networks are in charge of college football.
Well, I mean, but let's take it a step further than that, Matt. Do you blame ESPN or do you blame the greed of these universities, these chancellors and these presidents sitting there at these Big Ten and these Pac-12 schools that talk about the student athlete and how education is so important and bullshit. All that matters is dollar, 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 dollar. I mean, I don't really know that you can blame the networks if you're dangling all this money. You know, what I do wonder is going to happen eventually is regional rivalries are what people want to watch. And, you know, yeah, USC versus Michigan is probably appealing, but how many people want to watch USC play Illinois? I think in the ACC network, the reason maybe the ACC network is struggling, North Carolina and North Carolina State's appealing, but who wants to watch North Carolina State play Boston College? So, you know, I think some of these decisions based on media markets and expansion and all that kind of crap, you know, long term is bad for the game. And I wonder what it's going to be worth financially long term when you got to watch UCLA play Indiana.
And guys, B. Pays, by the way, he was talking about, when we're talking about expansion for the American, he says strike with Colorado State, Air Force, Utah State, and UNLV.
If they're available, yeah, if they're available. Again, in this scenario, the Pac-12 survives and takes the Mountain West schools. So who are they going to take? San Diego State, definitely. Who else would they take? UNLV, you got a big media market. I know Fresno is actively pursuing the Pac-12. Would they take Boise? You know, I don't know. So it'd be interesting to see who's left.
Johnny Robertson, by the way, chimes in, guys. He was just told that San Diego State is actively involved in talks with the Big 12, and we obviously know about Arizona, but that would be a big coup.
With the Big 12 or the Pac-12, Johnny?
He's saying Big 12, so that's the first I've heard of that, so...
That indicates to me, it goes back to maybe the both leagues are going to survive. I don't know. That's weird. I don't know. That is very interesting. I don't know why the Big 12 would be talking to San Diego State if they're talking to other Pac-12 members. There could be some strategy there to try to force the Pac-12 members' hands by tying up the other schools that they would expand with. I don't know. That's an interesting. You just said San Diego State talking to the Pac-12. I'd have totally got that, but talking to the Big 12 doesn't make a lot of sense to me at this point.
I think it's all about that market. You know, having a presence in Southern California. Be interesting to see.
Good old Johnny Gardner, Big Ten carries their states, whether it's one or two universities in a said state. Then you throw in Rutgers and Northwestern markets. Folks will then say nobody cares about those teams in that market. However, how many Big Ten alums from the conference are in New York and Chicago?
Well, true enough. I get what you're saying. They'll watch their team. But I get what he's saying there. But they're there anyway.
Yeah,
and I'll chime in on. Let me just chime in really quick on Rutgers because I grew up in New Jersey and I have some perspective on Rutgers. Outside of the Rutgers alumni, nobody in New Jersey or New York cares about Rutgers. It's unbelievable. They're almost just a complete afterthought. So I think Johnny makes a great point in terms of there's so many Big Ten alumni in the New York area for sure. Just as it relates to Rutgers, they really have no presence there that I've observed, at least. So that's always been a questionable move for the Big Ten for me anyway.
I think the argument Johnny's trying to make is, and I would make the argument that you're making, Matt, they're there anyway. But I guess if you bring Rutgers to the Big Ten, then that gives a reason to put the Big Ten Network in New York. And then it gets good ratings in New York because people are watching it because the alum are there. And if it wasn't for Rutgers being in the league, the Big Ten Network would have probably never got on the cable systems in New York. So I guess that's probably the argument, though it is stupid. I'm with you. The alums are already there, but you kind of got to have a team in the area to get on the TV in that area. So in terms of local cable providers, so I don't know. It's worked for the Big Ten.
Yep.
So,
hey, by the way, guys, Craig says all that matters is dollar cow from the grain. So
that's true. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, when it comes all down to it, that's really all that matters. So just like all this, North Carolina's not going to go without Duke. I mean, well, maybe not. We'll see. Big Ten's got a lot of money out there dangling.
Yeah, Big Ten right now, they've been wanting North Carolina for a long time. North Carolina told them they want Duke to be – because Duke and North Carolina is the biggest basketball game of the year.
And you can still have it. You can still have it as a non-conference game.
Yeah, but you would want that – I mean, as far as they have a potential to play two times in the regular season, plus a conference tournament, plus a national tournament as well.
Well, I hope your Blue Devils get to go and don't get left behind.
Well, I'm worried about my Pirates, so that's my number one. I mean, when you think about it, guys, with that very fact of going back to, we're not trying to beat up on Gilbert, but I'm praying to God that we're reaching out to a whole bunch of different conferences. We're, you know, we have a lot of plans in place. If this, it's kind of like draft night. If Matt and Kyle, if I'm in the NFL and I don't get my guy, then I'm going to have.
Well, like, has there been a statement from Maresco?
Nothing.
And that's interesting. And I know, again, he's not directly involved yet. I'm sure he's monitoring the situation. I had full faith in Orasco up until some of the decisions that were made with some of the schools we brought in. Now I question him. like I said, this is very interesting to see all this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I was telling you guys earlier, I think that the Americans should expand, but yeah, I mean, carefully, like, look at the teams, just like what Pace was talking about.
If it's available, yeah. Yes. The Big 12 schools have, the Mountain West schools have already told us no. But if they get poached by the Big 12 or the Pac 12, then they may change their mind. So if those Mountain West schools we were interested in before are available, and the Mountain West gets poached, which makes them vulnerable, then, yeah, you try to get them again, and you expand, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, when you look at it for us right now, if we don't make a move, my main thing is, if we don't make a move, where I'm coming from is, what if we get left behind when we had the opportunity, we find out we could have gone to this conference, we could have gone to that conference. I mean, I'm not saying, again, that we start.
Oh, well, we're not going to find. Look, if somebody's interested, they'll call. But we should be talking to people. There should be and there may be. You know, I'd hope Gilbert is on the phone with UCF's AD and with Houston's AD and with Cincinnati's AD that we have relationships with, and says, hey, look, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Big 12 and the Pac 12 if the Pac 12 ends up poaching the Big 12, even though that's what. That's not what it looks like is going to happen. But if it happens, don't forget about us.
What about that very thing? What conference would you guys want to be in? Do you care? Like outside the American, like a, one of the bigger conferences, what conference would you want to be in?
The SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I like the scenario. Like what I can envision is if the ACC does implode, I like the idea of being in a revamped ACC with some of the teams you mentioned before, Virginia Tech, maybe an NC State, a Wake Forest.
Marshall, App State.
How about a Louisville, you know, in that revamped ACC? Maybe Georgia Tech stays, you know. I mean, that's a pretty good – and what I like about it, it's – first of all, it's solid programs, but it's a you talk about a regional conference that actually fits. It's pretty regional. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that'd be great if the ACC gets poached down the line by the Big Ten and SEC, and we have the opportunity. That'd be fantastic. I would take, you know, if the Big 12 gets poached by the Big Ten, excuse me, by the Pac-12, I would take that also. Hell, I would take the Pac-12. If the Pac-12 left with six members, let's go join the Pac-12.
Well, that's the thing.
That's not going to happen, but I take it.
But, guys, it's possible that if they could have an Eastern division, they have a Western division.
Who, the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Oh, the Pac-12. Could give me a break, Dave. They think they're too good for Texas Tech.
I agree with you.
That's not going to happen. I
don't think it's going to happen.
It'll be interesting to see. Look,
they could bring in UConn.
They sure could. great basketball.
Wow, baby. You had to go there, Matt. Your
football
season
only, Dave. Football only.
You I don't know. I think probably the short term, as we sit here today, as the ACC sits intact, I think probably our best chance is for the Big 12 to take from the Pac-12. The Pac-12 to take from the Mountain West. Memphis and SMU stay put. We get to pick over the Mountain West, and the American ends up stronger. As we sit today, I think that's probably our best opportunity. That's not what I'm saying I hope happens. I'm saying that's probably our best, most realistic opportunity to improve our situation would be for the Pac-12 to poach from the Big 12 to poach from the Pac-12, Pac-12 to poach from the Mountain West, and then us poach from the Mountain West. And Memphis and SMU stay.
BPay says the Big 12 Eastern Division, and here's what he's going with, guys, so you understand what he's saying. That's what he wants. West Virginia, East Carolina, UCF, Cincy, Memphis, Kansas, Kansas State, Navy, the Big 12 Eastern Division. That's what he's got.
I like it.
And then did he leave out Iowa State?
Yeah, he did, which Iowa State's not a bad – I mean, come on, go to Ames. There, Jay Cutler says, yes, a revamped ACC. He likes that.
Yeah, so that'd be fantastic. I mean, that's the ideal situation, but a lot of things have to happen for that to happen.
And I'm not confident. I'll tell you one thing. That commissioner, you know, you want to talk about Jeff Confer for East Carolina. How about Jim Phillips for the ACC? He is – what is that old term? Fitting square and a round, what is it, a round peg, that old saying? Square peg and a round hole, yeah. That guy has missed on so much. I mean, they could have an automatic bid for the playoff, and this guy is more worried about why are people, and I know I'm from North Carolina, for the state of North Carolina, Homer, why are people so anti-Greensboro? He should have been more focused on what's happening to his league than where the headquarters are. That's all he's cared about since he's been commissioner. We got to get out of Greensboro. We got to get out of Greensboro. We got to get out of Greensboro.
It's a different scenario, but, you know.
He's like looking, Rain Man.
Looking back at I'm going to go way back and change subjects, but draw some parallels. The NWA Jim Crockett Promotions, kind of the downfall when Crockett started to get too big for his britches and wanted to move things out of Charlotte, moved to Dallas, and ended up having to sell TBS because he spent too much money. It killed their promotion. And the same thing happened to the ACC. You start worrying about, you know, I will say the saving grace for the ACC, I think, may be the Grand Rights Agreement. Because if somebody can, Johnny Gardner, B pays.
$52
million. Is it $52 million to buy out? Okay, yeah. So, unless that can be negotiated, that may save the ACC's ass. There might be one or two schools that get to go to the Big Ten or that'll pay that, but you're not going to see a mass exodus having to pay $52 million exit fees.
But you're getting $100 million for both conferences. I mean, would that be – like in a short term, it does sting. I'm not saying $52 million. I'm not trying to – don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to downplay. That's a lot of cash. But think about
– I don't know. You know, I get what you're saying. That's
getting less than $100 million, $100 million, $100 million. 100 million versus
yeah, no, I get what you're 30 saying. Million, 30 well, that's million, 30 that's million. That's what I just said. If you're going to the Big Ten, yes. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I think short term, and you know, we're getting repetitive at this point. We're saying the same crap over and over. But I think short term, the best outcome for East Carolina, short term, keep that in mind. When it's short term, I mean the next 12 months. Would be for the Big 12 to take from the Pac-12, the Pac-12 to take from the Mountain West, and then the American to take from the Mountain West. And also, again, that means SMU and Memphis stays.
BPay says, if ACC loses two, meaning UNC and Duke, we don't have a chance. If they lose four.
Four, correct.
And it, hey, Miami, people are saying about Miami being, like, not good. They have now, you know what's great about Miami? They can cheat now that it's legal. They don't
and,
have to
and I'm not so sure 24 and 24 is not the answer also. And that would be 48 schools. So it could be even more than four. They could lose, you know, you could see
six.
Could see, yeah.
Count Notre Dame. They're not really a
well, you know, I'm talking about both the Big Ten. Yeah. It's too complicated to get into right now. But if the SEC really wants to go to 24, you know, and then the Big Ten really wants to go to 24. If it's not 20, there'd be a lot of schools leaving the ACC. So,
and to Pease's point, I think Clemson is that's the one that's the big domino. I can easily see the SEC coming at Clemson. How come there's no rumors to Clemson to the Big Ten? You know, I'm shocked
that the
Big Ten doesn't want Clemson, even though it's slightly, you know, geographically off. But you talk about
do you know where Clemson is?
smaller market, I know. But you're talking about
– But they are
– this, though, Kyle. You're talking about a program, the second best program in college football over the last 10
years.
Yeah,
they're not going to the Big Ten. That's not going to happen. The SEC – it's where Clemson belongs, and that will probably end up happening. The Clemson and the Big Ten, if that happens, I would be beyond shocked.
You never know, brother. You never know. In this world, good Lord.
It's a bidding war, right? I mean, it's a bidding war.
It's just not anything that you look at who the Big Ten has brought in. Outside of Nebraska, they've gone after major markets.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, with Clemson, though, your football brand, if you don't have any
cool. All right. You heard it here first. Matt and Dave, Clemson to the Big Ten.
No, I'm saying SEC, but I was saying if it happened, you could understand why it would happen because they would have a footprint.
I honestly could not see any reason why Clemson would be in the Big Ten.
You wouldn't before?
No. City football? I just – that makes – to me, that – you talk about a square peg round hole. Clemson in the Big Ten, good Lord. Culturally, they don't fit. Nothing fits. Nothing fits there. No, I mean. Yeah,
I would see Clemson.
If they get the invitation, they might go, but I just don't see the Big Ten ever inviting them. No, there's no way.
I mean, I'm going Clemson, Florida State, and Miami go to the SEC.
Well, you got your – Notre Dame. That's 19, Dave. That's 19. Who's your fourth school? Nobody's going to have a 19-team league.
No, I understand that. But I just feel like with the – I'm just talking about from the ACC. Maybe they get somebody else from another conference. We don't even, you know.
Oklahoma State?
I would take Oklahoma State in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think a lot of people mention NC State to the SEC.
That's what I'm one that I'm a little surprised by.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to throw shade on NC State.
Well, and maybe if they want the North Carolina market too, just like the Big Ten, and Raleigh is, you know, the second largest media market in North Carolina, one of the fastest growing cities in America.
Yeah.
So
they got a big fan base. I mean, we'll say that.
Yeah.
And if they have a good, and another thing, it could be, they could have a good year. You never know if they have a magical year. Maybe that would help their chances. B-Pay says that a good point pays. He says that Georgia Tech has a better chance at Big Ten than Clemson.
Based on AAU, ACU?
Yeah, AAU. Yeah. Association of American Universities. And I was telling Matt on Friday night, there's five schools, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, and believe it or not, I believe it was it Pitt? There's five schools that have that in the ACC out of the 15, if you count Notre Dame. Five out of the 15 have it. So those are the five that have it. The AAU certification, but that those are the two teams as well. So do you have anything before we go, guys? I know that we're running a little long, but we'll have fun tonight. Matt, do you have any predictions?
Predictions regarding
conference? Yeah, you remember back in the day? Yeah, like you're like our bear for the
I'll tell you what, I feel like everything I predict as it relates to conference expansion tends to go wrong. So, you know, I should just go with opposite day. But, you know, I honestly really don't. Something here is going to happen this week, I'm sure, between the Pac-10 and the Big 12. And we're just going to have to wait and see. But honestly, no predictions. I couldn't even begin to imagine what's going to happen next.
You say, hey, McKenzie?
Hey.
Future
UC. McKenzie, what are your thoughts on conference realignment?
She wants to be a YouTube star, so. All right. Say hey.
Hey.
And she said hey.
From McKenzie. Right.
Yeah, so she loves sports big time, don't you? You love the Pirates?
Yes.
All right. There you go. Right. But, yeah, I think we're going to. Wrap things up, and hopefully we'll find out something. Notre Dame is the next one to we'll see what happens there. We're having to wait on, I think it's that school, and then we'll find out more as time goes on.
All right.
Well,
hey, thanks to all the people who chimed in tonight. We had a lot of awesome comments and questions tonight.
Yeah, we did. We appreciate it. We try to do this. We're trying to do this being summertime and all the hype and everything that's going on, and we love that very much. Can you tell everybody good night?
Good night.
All right. For Bubba that's producing tonight, appreciate you, buddy. Still in at the beach. He's multitasking on the beach, producing at the same time. For Kyle and Matt and my beautiful daughter, Mackenzie, I'm Dave Richmond. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. From the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close. All out to my last whistle blow. From the flag with the soul and crossbones. Everybody stand up, get your hands up. Let a team know that we got their back. This is our house.